This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website, and there's other information on the website that might be helpful. We're happy to take prayer requests and comments either through the website or by regular mail. Now, we've been looking at the Old Testament heroes of the faith, and we've broke away for some messages on Thanksgiving and Christmas, but now I want to move into the New Testament and look at some of the great personalities of the New Testament. As I look at these different men and women, what I'm really interested in is seeing if their qualities could be our qualities. For example, when we look at Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And so we can see that purpose of heart to be faithful to the Lord and to be separated from the paganism that was associated with eating the king's meat was something that the Lord honored. And when we've looked at Abraham, we see that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And we've looked at Jacob and realized that even though he had many defects, he had many problems in his life, and he was really a liar, yet the Lord was able to take him and make something from him. And now it's descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are the Jewish nation that are presently in the promised land, the land of Israel. And we see the Lord descending from these people. So when we look at them, we have to ask ourselves, do we have faith like Abraham did? Now, we know Abraham's faith was weak at times, but he, when tested, did have faith. So when we look at these people, we have to ask ourselves, are we in any measure like them? Now, I realize that we can't be like them until, as sinners, we come to trust the Savior. We have to have that time in our lives when we become true worshipers of God, like that woman in John chapter 4. She was a woman who apparently was considered a sinner. She had had five husbands, and the man she was now living with was not her husband, and the Lord says to her, the Father seeketh such to worship him. And so if we're going to have the qualities that please God in our lives, we're going to have to first of all understand that by our natural birth, we are not ready to serve God. We're not ready to go to heaven by our natural birth. We're sinners and we're separated from God. But through the new birth, by trusting in Christ, things change and we become a new creation. We have new desires and we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so even with John the Baptist, when you read about him, you find out that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, but that did not mean that he was saved from his mother's womb. There's a difference between God controlling his life and energizing him based on the foreknowledge of God so that he could do the will of God. There's a difference between knowing what he would be and him personally having to come to faith in Christ, because the Bible is clear that there are no exceptions. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he says again that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we can't get away from those basic truths. So even John the Baptist, while the events were being orchestrated by God before he was born, that was based on the foreknowledge of God, and he himself still had to become a person of faith. And he was a person of faith, because one thing we note about John the Baptist is he says that the Lord must increase while he must decrease. And ultimately, that led to his death so that he would be taken out of the way and not worshiped as someone to be venerated. It was the Lord that he was pointing people to that needed to be worshiped. And so we read then in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And so we see that he was a person who was preparing the way of the Lord, much like a preacher does today when we preach the gospel and tell people that in order to receive the Lord, there has to be conviction of sin. And that was John's message. He told the people to repent of their sin. And it was because of their sin that they had been taken into captivity. And now that the Lord has begun to speak again, he's preparing the people so that they can receive the Lord, and they can't receive the Lord apart from a recognition of the fact that nationally they have turned away from God, the one who brought them out of the land of Egypt into the promised land, and nationally they had turned away from God. So I just want to read to you from Luke chapter 1 and verse 10, where it says, "And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." Now, this is when the Lord again begins to speak after 400 years of silence. And he speaks to Zacharias, who is the husband of Elizabeth, and he's a priest who's ministering in the temple at this time. "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now this is when, after 400 years, God again starts to speak. And he speaks through Zacharias, and Zacharias was having a hard time believing what God was saying, because God was saying he was going to have a child, and he was again going to be a miraculous child, because Zacharias and his wife were beyond the childbearing years. Zacharias' wife, Elizabeth, had been barren. And so this was a miraculous child. I guess I can't say for sure that they were beyond childbearing years, but nevertheless, she had not been able to bear a child, and that was why it was hard for Zacharias to accept what the angel was saying to him. But now, while he was a child of prophecy, while he was a miraculous child, he was one who was going to prepare the people for the Lord. He was not the Lord himself. And when he began his ministry, he asked people to be baptized to show their change of heart and their change of mind. It was a ceremony. The baptism didn't change their hearts or minds, but when their hearts and minds were changed, they got baptized. And while we don't today in the church baptize with the baptism of repentance, yet we still baptize people whose hearts and minds have been changed so that they can trust in the Lord Jesus, and when they're baptized now, they're identified with Christ. And there's many people today who think baptism is for another dispensation, and others think baptism is unimportant. But in the New Testament, baptism, the believer's baptism, was extremely important, because it was a public confession that they were now accepting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And for the Jew, they were accepting the Lord Jesus as their Messiah. And when they made that public confession, you know, there was really no turning back, because the Jews then rejected those who made that public confession. Now you say, well, today there's no persecution like that. Well, then why is it so difficult for people just to believe and be baptized like the scriptures say they should be? Why is that so difficult? I don't know. We have people who have decided that they will baptize their infants, and I don't know why they do that, because you don't make a child of God by baptism, and yet that's what some of them are told. And you just don't make a child of God by baptism. You make a child of God by faith in Christ. And yet, after you have faith in Christ, you should be baptized. And we have all kinds of reasons and excuses for not doing that. And in many cases, it's because to say you trust in Christ is okay with your family, even if you've been raised in a denomination that you've been faithful to over the years. But when you get baptized, in many cases, the families of those people seem to think that they're leaving their roots behind and they're joining another religion. And that's not the case at all. What they're doing is they're identifying themselves with Christ instead of with a denominational doctrine. And so baptism today still identifies us with Christ and still is a public confession and still is just as important as John's baptism was. And we still have the problem that John the Baptist had, because he says in verse 7 of Matthew 3, he says, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers." Wow. That's snakes, poisonous snakes. "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." And so Jewish pride stood in the way of true repentance. And what John was saying is that if you've truly repented and recognized that you have walked away from God, and if you want to be right with God, there's going to be evidence in your life that those things have changed. He talks to the soldiers, he talks to the scribes, he talks to the Pharisees, he tells them what kinds of fruit should be seen in their lives, and we believe that as well. We're not saved by faith, by works, but we're saved unto good works. And so those who are saved by faith, by, as we say in Ephesians 2, by grace through faith, it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Nevertheless, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And John knew that there was a lot of these people who were getting on the bandwagon and getting baptized who were not real. And so he was testing their reality. And just as John the Baptist had to test reality, often we have to test reality today as well. It's popular to say, "I'm a believer in Christ." It's not so popular to follow the Lord Jesus and to be identified with him in baptism, to be identified with him in his rejection. That's not popular today. And so we need to be careful to make sure when we look at the ministry of John the Baptist that we apply those principles to ourselves today. John the Baptist, even though he was to be used of God, he had to be saved. We have to be saved. And if we're saved, we should have a desire to please the Lord, and we should have fruits that are in keeping with our faith, just as they were to have fruits in keeping with their repentance. And their repentance really was what brought them to the point where they could receive Christ. And we receive Christ today by faith. I trust, dear friend, that you've done that and it's real in your life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon all who have listened. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.